Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
This morning, though, James chapter 1, I want to start off first by saying Happy Father's Day to all of our dads, and happy Man Day to all the men. I'm one that thinks we need to celebrate manhood. We've talked before in our house. I don't set a goal of raising children. I set a goal of raising men and my boys. Unless you're one of my daughters, and I don't want to raise a man. I want to raise a. Y'all get it. And so we celebrate men today. I think we want to celebrate men in the house of God because I think the house of God needs men. We need men to lead us. God has called men. God has anointed men for this time in our lives. And so this morning, I want men to be encouraged. And I want to say something, and I want you to hear me. And this is whether you are married or single or dating or engaged, is kind of like just a nugget for the guys. And it's simply this. I think men need to focus more on being the man that God has called them to be. They need to focus more on that than being the man that your girlfriend, your fiance, or your wife wants you to be. Because it's an amazing thing. When you become the man that God has called you to be, you will be the man that your girlfriend or your fiance or your wife need you to be. And I think we live in a world that gets very confused sometimes because we want people around us to be happy. And so we're always asking what will make them happy. And we try to do that. No, not you, Bob. You don't do it. He doesn't do it, does he, Shirley? Look, she's like, I'm not saying nothing. This is going to cost me. And I think sometimes we can get off track versus keeping my eyes on Christ and saying, God, who have you created me to be? And what does a godly man look like? And working to be that, striving to be that. Because even if our girlfriends or our fiancés or our spouses may not like it in the moment, I'm telling you, God's way is always the best way. And we need to stand with that and walk with that. See, God desires men to follow him and to become the men that God has designed you to be today because we need godly men in the church. And so we're going to talk a little bit this morning. I'm excited about the word. We're going to talk a little bit about listening and obeying. And while this is a Father's Day and we're kind of talking to dads a little bit, I think this is a message that really will apply to everyone. So if you're a dad here, this is for you. If you're a guy here who's not yet a father, this is for you. If you're a guy here and don't have even a girlfriend yet, this is still for you. If you're here as a woman, this is for you. So this is for all of us. Now, are junior hires staying in? Okay, I didn't see anybody leaving. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to announce it. And Chase is looking at me weird. Oh, that's just your normal face. I'm sorry. We're going to strive what God says. Here's the thing. I want to make an assumption this morning that there are folks that are here this morning who may be in a dry place spiritually. We have different lingo in the church for this. We talk about walking through desert times. We talk about walking through dry seasons. We talk about sometimes walking through a place where maybe I don't hear God as clearly as I once did, and I'm just in a season of solitude. I mean, we call it a lot of different names and describe it a lot of different ways, but sometimes we can go through seasons kind of spiritual dryness. And the thing is this, I want to be a man of God, and I want to be the man that God's called me to be. You might be here this morning saying, I want to be the woman that God's called me to be, but I haven't heard the voice of God in a while. And I want to make the assumption that some of us are here today and may be in that place. I love Jesus. I love God. I want to serve God, but it's been a while since I could honestly say I really feel like God spoke to me in a service and worship through the word, something where I felt like God addressed me personally. It has been a while, and so I walk through life. I'm kind of straining to hear the voice of God. Maybe this morning there's weight on you, a struggle, an issue, a battle that you find yourself in, condemnation, shame. I don't know, all of these things that the enemy tries to heap on us to have us take our eyes off of Jesus, and that may be what you're dealing with. with this morning, and I want to say this, we all need Christ. All of us need Christ. There is no one that is perfect, and if you think you're perfect, no one is going to like being around you. Right? I mean, how many of you this morning would say, Pastor, I have an issue? Raise your hand. All right, let me just say this. If your hand's not up, you have an issue. All right? You see, we all need God, and I think sometimes there can be this hesitation when it comes to saying, God, I'm going to listen, and God, I'm going to obey no matter what you say to me, no matter what you tell me, because I think sometimes, even though we know God loves us, God's for us, there's this little voice in the back of our head, and I want you to know it's the enemy that speaks these things that says, listen, if you've messed up, if you've tripped up, if you've kind of wandered away, if you're in a spiritual dryness right now because maybe you haven't been putting the time into your walk with Christ, that God is going to be mad at you, and if he speaks to you, and if he tells you to do something, you're not going to like it. And so we sometimes keep a distance. And what happens is this. We think God's mad at us or disappointed in us, so we really don't want to hear what he has to say. And I've seen this to where we get to this place, and then people will begin to do this. I don't really want people to know that I'm wrestling, and so I'll just kind of go through the motions. And we can sometimes kind of fake the relationship. All right, you ever been in a relationship, you dated someone or whatnot, maybe it just wasn't going the way you thought it was going to go, and you're kind of a little distant, but when you see people in public, it's like, oh, hey, oh, y'all look so cute, oh, we just love each other so much. People can fake the relationship where it, you're acting one way, but in reality, it is a very different way. And the thing is this, when we begin to distance ourselves from God, or when we begin to go through life without the freshness of his voice in our life, it goes from relationship to religious duty. And when it becomes a religious duty, there's no air to breathe in that. We need to hear the voice of God in our life. We need the freshness of his voice in us. And the thing is this, when we begin to live like that, we can become deceived. And the problem with deception is this, you're deceived. James 1:22-23 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Listen and obey, all right? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. Now, here's the thing. Whenever I read this, I can't help but think a little bit about marriage. Because men and women are so radically different, aren't we? We're so radically different. And it's hysterical at times. We're going to get into it in a little bit. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Listen, the reason we encourage you to read the Word of God is, A, it's God's Word to you, but two, the Bible gets you. It understands you. You may not always understand it, but it understands you. And I'm going to tell you something, when it comes to Word, you are either going to listen to the culture or you're going to listen to the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, the Word is better. And let me prove it. All you ladies from the 80s. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where you had your bangs straight up in the air like the Hoover Dam. Big hair, your bangs pointed straight up. You had the Farrah Fawcett curls. Culture said you look good. Culture lied to you. And the men, we got to be careful because I don't know, guys, do you remember short shorts and tube socks? Reebok shoes, and you'll love this one, fanny packs. I'm looking to see if anybody looks. I still wear my fanny pack. Just call it a satchel, all right, or a man bag, something. Listen, we thought culture said we look good. Culture lied to you. The culture will do that. And culture will lie to you, but the word will always tell you the truth. And in the context of marriage, listen, the word doesn't tell women to love their husbands. It says respect their husbands. Do you know why? Because when you ask a man to define love, you know what he's going to define? Respect. It's an amazing thing. Proverbs 31 says, a godly woman smiles at the future. I have never met a man who says, Pastor West, my dream woman is going to be grumpy and mad at everybody. Said no one ever. Men, the word tells us we should give up our lives for our wives like Jesus gave up his life for ours. In Ephesians 5, the word tells husbands to love their wives. I love this. Love your wives the way you love yourselves. That's what the word says. The man is to love his wife the way he loves himself. To me, this is very hysterical. And here's the thing. It doesn't say that to a woman. If you read in the scriptures, it doesn't tell a woman to love her husband the way she loves herself. Do you know why? Because women have a hard time loving themselves. I'll prove it. I live in the house. Listen to, I'm being dead serious, man. I live in the house with three. I know you're here and you haven't fed me yet. I realize that. I'm going on a limb. I live in the house with three absolutely beautiful women. Absolutely beautiful women. Some of the most beautiful women I know. One I'm married to, two I gave birth to, and not personally, I was there. I cut the cord on one and tore it with the other one. They're beautiful. I sometimes sit back and I just think, how did I play a role in creating those two and trick this one into marrying me? I don't know how I did it, but here's the thing. Every day, you know, any event we go to, there's this thing that goes on. They can come downstairs. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. But they stand in front of the mirror, and they always find something wrong. Am I lying? You stare. You're gorgeous. It's just hair. Does the back look right? You're not, it doesn't have a bald spot. You know, the hair or my makeup is weird or this material's not laying right. I don't even know what that means. Always find something wrong because women have a hard time loving themselves. It's hard for you to stand there and go, man, my husband's lucky. Men, on the other hand, love themselves. Love themselves. We'll stand in front of the mirror. We're overweight. We've got hair on our back. We've got more hair coming out of our ears than on top of our heads. And we'll stand in front of the mirror, suck it in a little bit, and yell down the hall, baby, you are one lucky woman. I'm telling you, men have no problem loving themselves. And this is what Jesus tells us. He says, men, love your wife the way you love yourself. Because men always find something good. We'll stand there. We're like, I still got it. I still got it. Listen, James 1:24-25. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I don't care what you say. That is funny. All right? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So it says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law, the word of God, that gives freedom. What gives freedom? The word of God. And continues in it. What is it? The word of God. Not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Listen, the word of God is not a preference for the Lord. It's not a pet peeve that he has. He wants you to read it or he doesn't want you to read it. It's something that God takes seriously. God loves you and God wants you to know that he loves you and God takes this very serious. Now, all of us have preferences, right? There are meat eaters and there are vegetarians. And we know there's vegetarians because they always tell us, I'm a vegetarian. You know what I mean? There are folks. I mean, what'd you have for breakfast? Meat. What'd you have for lunch? Meat. Dinner? Meat. And then, like, I don't know if Brenton Hammond's not here. He loves salads. And he's, oh, I just love salads so much. And that's okay. We all have preferences. There are cat people and there are dog people. I got to be careful. I almost start a war in this joint. But I did hear on MSNBC the other day that cat people are more intelligent than dog people. I don't have anything. My wife has a cat. I have a boat. You'd be amazed how many times people, Pastor, my pets go to heaven. Well, here's the thing. I have never seen an angel with a blue little bag. So I'm guessing cats might make it, but your dog doesn't have a shot. All right. I'm very sorry. You know I'm joking, right? All right, here we go. Listen, here's the thing. But God, even though we have preferences, even though we all have different things, God loves everybody. And God is ready to receive us right where we are with open arms. And I think sometimes we have a hard time believing that God can love us because we don't really love ourselves. And so because we don't love ourselves, we make so many excuses for why we don't listen and obey to what God is saying. God speaks to us. Oh, God, I can't do that. You know, this morning, Rosa's stepping out. There's everything in our flesh wants to fight that and say no. But when we obey God and we listen to God, while someone didn't raise their hand and say, that was for me, I know and I believe that was for someone here today. When we listen and we obey, it's an amazing thing. We have to remember that how desperate we were for a Savior and that we will draw close to Him. Now, I want you to get this. Jesus said this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are going to be times when I speak to you in parables and you're not going to get it because your heart's callous. There's going to be times that your ears don't hear, times that you're not going to be able to see with your eyes, and it can lead to deception. We can sometimes get confused in our walks with Christ and get led away. Now, 1 Timothy 4:1 says this. The Spirit clearly says, and in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So how do we keep from getting caught up in this and getting caught up in being led away by things that aren't true in the Word? And the answer is this: be real and look intently into the Word of God. We've got to be in the Word. God will teach you. God will show you. So when we go to the Word, it is a time for us to see what God is working on in our lives and to know that He loves you. So let's look at this parable. Luke 14. I'm going to read 16 through 23, and it says this. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they, all alike, begin to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married. I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the towns, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done and there is still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads, the country lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." You see, some of us this morning, we've decided to come to the banquet. You're here, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're at a place in your life that you're saying, you know what? I want to hear God. I want to obey God with my life. You're at the table. But there are some that I don't know why haven't we made this decision yet, but we haven't. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what? Just life has gotten busy and you've drifted a little bit. God has spoke to you. God has called you. God has touched you. And we're making excuses on why we don't step out in faith and step out in obedience to what God is asking us to do. And we're making these excuses to Him of why we can't take this next step in our life. I've got 4 quick points. I'm going to roll through them and here they are. Well, number one, He is ready now. He is ready now. The Holy Spirit is always working at bringing us closer to the Father because He loves you. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation. He brings conviction. Condemnation shows up where you are and it shows you that you're weak and it leaves you there to die. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. It shows up and tries to lead you to strength and healing. Condemnation doesn't remove itself from you. You feel condemned when you do something and you live in that state of condemnation. But conviction is very different. Conviction has one purpose, and that's to bring you to Christ. Once you've come to Christ, it's gone. It's done. That's the way God has designed that. Conviction is always about right now. If you're here this morning and something that's said grips your heart, that's conviction, and it's about right now. God's saying, make a decision on this today. See, to grow and to be what God desires us to be, we need to hear the voice of God. And sometimes that can be tough, can't it? You ever just wanted God to be loud? Wouldn't that be nice if God was like our children in the house? You know, just wow, just wide open? But that's not really how God functions, is it? It's just not really what he does. You know, he's God. He spoke the world into being. Why can't he be a little louder and make it easier for us to hear him? But what does God do? He whispers. To hear a whisper, you have to quiet the noise around you. To hear a whisper, you have to draw close to the person who is speaking. You see this in 1 Kings 19. It was a still small voice. It wasn't in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. It was in a whisper. Why? Because you have to be close to hear a whisper. And this is the reason he's invited you to the banquet. He wants you close to him. God wants us all there. God has invited us all, and he's compelling us to come. Now, in Luke, in that portion of Scripture, the thing you have to understand is they didn't have, like, save the date cards. So if there was a party that was going to happen, they would kind of give everybody, hey, guys, we're going to have a party end of the month. Keep that time open. Keep that space open. And when we're ready, we'll send word, and then you come. It wasn't like Friday the 23rd. You know, on your Google calendar. So they had to keep that time frame open. They didn't know when everything was going to be ready. They didn't know when the fatted calf was going to be fat enough. So they would give approximate times, and they would say, be ready, create space for this. You see, one of the struggles in life is that this, we live our lives at such a high rate of speed. And so often we're not living, we're just holding on for dear life. And we run exhausted from one thing to the next thing. We don't live our lives with a margin at all. I mean, think about the best relationship you've ever had. Best friend, spouse, BFF, whatever. Was that relationship created at Mach 2? No. It takes time. You make space for those things. You made room for it. And in front of us all today are two paths. One is the world and the other is the kingdom of God. And some frustrate their lives by trying to do both. And you can't do both. You can't live like the world and live like Jesus. Now, we can live like Jesus in the world, but you can't live like the world in Christ. The road to the world looks extremely attractive. It's a great marketing job. But the Bible says to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith in Hebrews chapter 12. You see, God wants to write things to you. God wants to help you finish as you fix your eyes on him. And our peripheral vision gets in the way, and sometimes we make that what we focus on, and when we make that what we focus on, Jesus then becomes our peripheral. And that's why it's fun. Here's the thing. The thing that works about the world, and we're going to talk real today, is simply this. The world can be fun for a season. Now, the season always ends in pain and regret. And you never know when the season's going to end. If it wasn't a little fun, people wouldn't fall for it. But at some point or another, that season comes to an end, and it always ends in pain and regret. And you realize it was false advertisement. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden your eyes open up, and you realize you've been punked by the devil. And it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And here's what happens. When you forget the power of the cross, you stay in that state. When you realize that the world promised one thing but delivered another thing, if you forget the cross, if you forget what Jesus said and what Jesus did, you end up living right there, staying right there, and God hasn't designed you for that. You've been designed to be free. And God, is really good, the thing is this, at forgiving people. And God wants to forgive us. Too many, I think, I've had in my life straight before I go to church. I got to get right and then I'll go to God. I got to stop doing this and start doing this more. And then I can go to Jesus and then he'll take me back. And then it will be okay. Listen, you can't get your life straight without the cross. Don't wait to come to it. We come to it. And when we get our lives there, we get our lives at the foot of the cross, then we're free of these things and we can listen and we can obey and we can move forward. The other road has no marketing, just the kingdom and just Jesus. But here's what I promise you. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God, all of the things will be added to you. You see, there's nothing better than just being close to Jesus. Amen? So he's ready now. Number two is this. Listen and obey without excuse. Listen and obey without excuse. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. Listen, raise your hand if you've ever made an excuse to God. All right, if your hands aren't up, that's an issue. Listen, you don't have to read and pray as long as you can act like you read and pray, right? We can't make excuses. We've got to just say yes to God and step into it. What's that old saying? If I heard it when I came down here, fake it till you make it. You'd be amazed how many times people have told me that. Well, you fake it till you make it. I don't even know what to do with that. Listen, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Doesn't that seem a whole lot simpler? A whole lot more straightforward. We use a lot of things in our lives as excuses to keep us from getting right with God, to keep us from stepping out. We can fake our relationship with God and then we wonder why we don't hear him like we used to. But close to God is as good as it gets, and there's nothing can compete to that. And we convince ourselves that we've made too many mistakes, we've drifted too far, it will never be like it was. But have you ever thought about the people in the Bible who made mistakes and didn't make excuses for it? Jonah, he ran literally. You talk about drifting from God. Oh, I miss God in them. Jonah said, God, what way do you want me to go? God said, I want you to go this way. Jonah said, then I'm going that way. Literally the opposite direction. Noah, he was the father of all drunks. First drunk recorded in history. You got Abraham. I love this. He was too old to be used by God. Hey, God told Abraham one day, Abraham, you're 100 years old. It's time to go to Babies R Us. Literally, it says in Romans 4, it says, Abraham's body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. That's just nasty. No excuses, though. Jacob was a liar. Gideon was afraid. Moses was a murderer, but yet he was also the guy who came down from the mountain carrying the Ten Commandments, and one of them happened to be, thou shalt not kill. No excuses. Listen and obey. Rahab was a prostitute. Samson liked prostitutes. David was an adulterer and he covered it over with murder. Isaiah preached naked for 3 years. Isaiah chapter 20, if you think I'm lying. John the Baptist ate bugs. Jeremiah was way too emotional. Peter denied even knowing the Lord. Zacchaeus was too small. All you short people, rise up. Thomas was too negative. And I love the last one, Lazarus was dead. But he made no excuses. He listened. God said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. He listened and obeyed. All right, verse 21 says, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. All right, he's ready now. Listen and obey without excuses. Now, point number three is this. Remember how desperate we are. I need God. And I need him every day. 3 out of 4 is not okay. I need him every day of the week. I'm convinced that if you really want to love people and help people, it's not always about your strengths, but it's about remembering your brokenness. All of us are broken somewhere. And God uses broken people. And if you're going to have a party, aren't these kind of the last people you would invite? But not Jesus. Jesus says, you go out, you find them. And you compel them to come. Because I have a place, I have a spot for them. See, so many people don't show up in the invitation because we think we have to be right or be better or be different and before we can take that step towards Jesus. We got to get our lives together before he'll allow us in. But God shows us that that's not true in John chapter 8. Or he's teaching in the temple and the scribes and the Pharisees find this woman who was literally caught in the very act of adultery, and they bring her and they throw her at the feet of Jesus. Now it says scribes and Pharisees, the religious people. The religious people. And if people find it odd sometimes. I love sometimes I'll meet with people and they'll say something about religion, and I always tell them this: oh, I hate religion. I'm not a fan of religion at all, but man, I love me some Jesus. And I always get this weird look, because if they don't walk in faith, they don't really understand the difference. And I'll say it today, I don't like religion, but I love Jesus, because some of my deepest wounds in my life have come from religious people in the church. Leaders, you know, if you want to be technical, the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to do the same thing that Jesus wanted to do. They wanted this woman to stop her sinning, to stop what she was doing. They just went about it differently. They came and said, we're going to stop her. How are you going to stop her? Well, we're going to kill her. Jesus said, all right, well, if you're going to do that, that's fine. So they throw her at their feet. They thought they were going to deal with him and trick him into something and deal with her and kind of two birds with one stone. According to the law, she should die. She knew that. Jesus said, all right, you're right, we should kill her, but let's do it this way. Let's let the man who's never sinned throw the first stone. Aren't you glad Jesus is with you? And then I love this. Jesus stoops and he writes something in the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but we really want to know bad. It was the only sermon Jesus ever wrote. And one by one, I don't know what it was, but one by one, they dropped their stones and they walked away. And this woman, knowing the law, knowing that it should be over for her, and without Jesus, it would have been. The truth of the matter is, without Jesus, it would be over for all of us. And Jesus says, where are those who condemn you? And she says, they're all gone. He says, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And I'm convinced that she didn't run back to the life of adultery, because there's nothing that competes to being close to Jesus. There's nothing like being close to him. Now, had he told her to get up and I just saved your life and I owe you, or you owe me now, and you better quit living up like this, and you better, you're a loser, and you know what, you're a mess, and you better never let me catch you doing this again, or I won't stop them next time, I think she would have run right back to it. There's nothing like the love of Jesus. You see, some of us, the reason that we live in a cycle of we're in the world and we realize the world hurts us, and then we go to Christ and we live in Christ, and then we kind of go to the world and we do this circular thing, and we have no idea how amazing his forgiveness is and how good it can be. Nails didn't keep him on the cross. He stayed on there because he wanted to forgive you and be close to you. And it's the cross that allows that. And that's why he went. He's ready now. Listen and obey without excuse. Remember how desperate we are. And the last point is simply this. Don't forget the big picture. In Luke 14, 23, then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. See, there may be some who this morning, you're a prodigal. And it can be so easy to spend so much time out there. And the prodigal son in Luke 15 in the Bible, he got so far away from the father that the biggest problem that he had was he forgot how much the father wanted him to come home. You read the story, after he lost everything, he started thinking, I want to go home, but my dad will never accept me back as a son. So maybe I can be a slave or a hired hand. Maybe I can just work in the field somewhere, but he certainly doesn't want me back at the table. You see, this happens when you stay out there long enough and you forget how much the father wants you back. The son starts on the way home, and you know he's thinking about what he's going to say, and maybe I can talk my dad into it, but he didn't know how his dad was going to react. And in Luke 15, it says he's walking, and the Bible says that the father sees his son a great ways off, and he begins to run at him. And I wonder what the son was thinking. Is he coming to kill me? Is he coming to tell me, don't even waste the rest of the journey to get back out there? You took it all. You burned us. You embarrassed us. You embarrassed our home. Everybody knows what you've done. Everybody knows what you've been doing. Don't show up at my house. Don't show up at my table. Take your mess and go back out there. Live the life you said you wanted to live. I wonder what he thought the father was going to do. But you know what? The father just wanted a hug. That's it. The son starts the speech that he had been rehearsing, and the father cuts him off and says, all I know is my son was lost. And now he's home. And he gave him a ring, and he accepted him back into sonship. He gave him a robe, and he brought him back into his house. He killed the fatted calf, and they had barbecue ribs. Yeah. You can have anyone. Let me close with this. Several years ago, we lived very close to the school, Bush Hill School, and Sierra would walk back and forth. And she would always walk with a group of friends. And there was this one place, we have a couple little turns, there was one corner where they would kind of break off and go one direction, and she would walk the last little bit by herself. And some of you who know us well, you know this, but one day, a van followed this group of kids from the school. And after the group broke off and Sierra was walking by herself, this van pulled up alongside of her, and there was a driver and there was someone in the back, and they opened the side door of the van and someone jumped out and tried to grab her. She was how old? 7, 8. And immediately she scared and took off running and literally ran the whole way. The van followed her down our street, and I happened to be home that day. And she comes running in the house, white as a ghost, crying, "Dad, Dad, someone tried to grab me." Of course, yeah, I grabbed a shovel and started digging holes. Police were involved, teachers at the school who worked with the thing, remember seeing the van and all sorts of stuff. And it was crazy. It was a moment that really makes you as a parent sit back and ask what-if questions. Realize how blessed you are to have people in your life. And I can remember laying in bed that night listening to her sing. And thinking, had things been different, I wouldn't have heard that song. The thing is if they had gotten her, I would have never stopped looking. I would have never given up. Because that's your son, that's your daughter. And every time the phone rang, you would pray it would be her. And every time a knock came at the door, you would pray that it would be her. And you would base your friends not on who said they loved you, but on people who helped you look. People who searched with you. People who didn't give up on finding her and did everything that they could to make this thing right. My other daughter, Brooke, is getting married in a year. It's a crazy, crazy thing for a dad to walk through. Love having her home. She'll be home, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I know in a year I've got to hand her to someone else. And then my home isn't going to be her home anymore. And she's going to have a home of her own. And it's tough because a father's heart always loves when his kids come home. And I think this is the picture of the church. This is the picture of what the church is and what the church ought to be. There's a lot of lost people. There are a lot of people who are wounded and broken and tired, and we need to reach them, and we need to love them, and we need to help them because the Father wants them home more than we know. He says in Luke 14, 21 and 23, "Go out quickly to the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." The master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full." This week, can we listen and obey? Can we as men and as dads listen and obey with our hearts and our lives and allow God to use us to make a difference in our homes and the people that are around us? Because the thing that this world needs more than anything else, the thing your home needs, the things that your finances need, the thing I'm going to say is men being godly. Men being godly men. And could we as women of God today say, this week, I'm going to listen and I'm going to obey, because you know what your home needs? Your homes need you being godly women. And let our hearts be open, let our hearts be sensitive, because there's people all around us who are broken, who are tired, and who are weary, and they need what you have. We can give it freely, amen.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ, or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.